You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hi, so you just joined us. You just got out of work. Sam Darnold is going to the Carolina Panthers. Sixth rounder this year, second and fourth rounder next year. Damian Woody, who was with us earlier, brought up a great point on Twitter. You know, Joe Brady is a very highly thought of young offensive coordinator. He's like the new generation of offensive coordinator. He turned Joe Burrow into Joe Burrow while he was with LSU. Very, very young, one of the first hires that Matt Rhule made. But let's say that Joe Brady turns him around. Then bingo, Sam Darnold gets another offensive coordinator next year because Joe Brady's going to be a head coach.
Yeah.
He's going to be everybody's Cliff Kingsbury or, you know, the next great young head coach, Kyle Shanahan. He will be hired as head coach, and Sam's going to have another offensive coordinator. So even if it's good for him this year, he's going to have to relearn something next year.
But at least it'll be the first time in the pros that even if it's just for a year, he'll actually get some coaching. And he's so young, right, that he's still developing as a player. So that 1 year, if that turns out to be the case and Brady leaves and they bring in somebody else, at least it'll be the best coaching he's ever gotten. And he's got talent around him, and Rhule's still there. And then Carolina gets better, and they'll find good offensive coordinators. Just give him something, you know. Whether it's Bates or, you know, we talk about Josh McCown and what a help he was as a backup quarterback. He got no coaching, he got no development. We keep throwing out what Steve Young says. Steve Young always said this is the problem with the Jets and quarterbacks: they don't develop their quarterbacks, and they didn't develop Sam. They didn't make him better. They didn't grow him at all, and now he gets to go to a place where the excuses are over. He's got a good coaching staff, good weapons, great place to go and play football. He'll have a little competition, I would think, because I think Teddy Bridgewater still wants to be the quarterback there. And we'll see. Good for him. At least I think he's going to be given a chance to be the best that he can be now.
And by the way, I got a couple tweets from people saying Washington WFT should be reaching out about Teddy Bridgewater. I love the Teddy story. I'm so happy he got paid. I'm good.
Well, you just did that, right?
I'm good.
I mean, you went through Alex Smith, and I think Teddy's in a better health situation than Smith was, but, you know.
But he has not been special, sadly.
Let's bring in Rich Cimini, who has covered the Jets for half of his adult life, probably all of his adult life, and he joins us now. Rich, I saw your tweet. You don't like this. You would have traded the second pick. Tell me in detail why you don't think this is a good move.
Well, I mean, there's a lot, as we've talked about before, Michael, it's, you know, a very nuanced decision here, a lot of different layers to this. I know there's a financial benefit to resetting the clock with a rookie quarterback. I totally get that. But I just felt that that would have been offset by what they could have brought back in a potential trade. If they traded, say they traded with Carolina going from 2 to 8, they would have gotten just as much as the 49ers, you know, gave to Miami for making that trade last week. They would have had 2 future number one picks, which I think would have given them ample ammunition to get a quarterback in next year's draft if Sam didn't pan out this year. I just would have liked to have seen Sam with a better coaching staff and a quarterback-friendly offense. And quite frankly, other than Trevor Lawrence, I don't think any quarterback in this draft is worth the number two pick. I have some questions about Zach Wilson, about his durability and the level of competition he played. So if it were me, not so much that Sam blew us away, because clearly he did not. He had his struggles, were very glaring over the last couple of years. But the potential to bring back the extra picks, I think, could have been franchise-changing for the Jets.
Now, what are you hearing, Rich? Was this ever about Sam versus Wilson, or the number two pick and trading and all that? Or was it more about they just are in love with Wilson? They love him, and that's all that really mattered.
I don't think there's an anti-Sam sentiment in the Jets building. In fact, I know some people really wanted.
Oh, that's sad. You hate to see that.
It's a professional who makes his living on the phone, and to hear something happen like that, it's in a word.
Well, it's very troubling, but it's also it reinforces one of the things I've always heard about Sam Darnold. Big Illuminati guy, controls the phone lines.
Oh, yeah, that's an Illuminati thing. I didn't even realize it.
Darnold knows people at Verizon.
So now if you're watching on Yes, Don, not only do you get Peter's beautiful background, now he's got on $180 Ray-Ban glasses. He's really flexing right now.
I don't know where this relationship is, Peter. It's not my business. But if it doesn't escalate just from the view, I'd be
surprised.
Can
you see the New Yorker building right there?
Yeah, I do. I do, and the Empire State Building. It's a magnificent background.
Is the New Yorker in the New Yorker building, Michael?
It used to be. I don't know if it still is.
God, what
you can't see it on the one shot. When there's three of us, you can't see it. But if they just have you up there alone, then you do see the New Yorker building.
I'll tell you this. It's the 42nd floor, and it's almost at a point where the balcony, I'm not like scared of heights, really. It's borderline untenable walking out there, though. It is very high. Should I bring the camera out? I could bring it outside and just lean it over the edge. It's terrifying.
No, we're good. 1-800-919-3776. So tell us, Andrew, are we going to get Rich back or should I go to the phones? A lot of people want to talk about this. Any guidance, Andrew?
I think he's endeavoring to
Oh, Rich is back. All right, so what were you saying, Rich?
Last we heard, there isn't an anti-Sam.
Yeah, you said there's not an anti-Sam vibe.
Oh yeah, so no, there was a lot of sentiment in the building, for Sam. Robert Saleh from day one when he got the job, I know, was a big believer in Sam, and I talked to people who know Robert really well, and they felt that with him and Mike LaFleur in this offense, they could have made it work with Sam. I think Robert really felt that way, but as I stated earlier, I think the finances were a big part of it. Just to having Sam going into that fourth year of his contract, not wanting to pick up his option for the fifth year, and then starting over with a rookie, there is a definite benefit to that. It's several million dollars per year difference in the two contracts. So I think that was a big part of it. And also, I do think that Joe Douglas really likes Zach Wilson, and he better, because it's an enormous legacy-defining decision by Joe Douglas. He turned his back on a potential draft haul, for trading Sam. Or for keeping Sam and trading the pick. And so you really, really better believe in Zach Wilson at number two. And I think evidently he does.
And I think, guys, that's got to be the answer, right? Because, Rich, I've always said, Michael agrees that, it's $19 million, right? Because of the pandemic, it went down from 24, 25 to 19. If Sam 19, works yeah. out, that's a pittance. It doesn't matter. They got cap space, right? You can't be in love with a quarterback and then trade him away because you didn't want to spend the $19 million. It has to be about loving Wilson.
Yeah. Well, I think there was a report out of Carolina that they've already decided to pick up his option. So Carolina is going in with Sam. So they're getting Sam for, I think, $5 million this year and then $19 million next year. So they're getting a potential starting quarterback for $24 million over 2 years, which is a pretty reasonable rate. I don't think the Jets were going to pick up Sam's option. I mean, if they kept him, I think that they would have made him play out the year and see, would have been like a show me kind of situation. Sam would have had to play the year on his rookie contract. But I think this really turned when we had that press conference, when was it, with Joe about a month and a half ago, where he came out and openly admitted that he was field trade offers on Sam Darnold. Once he said that, I think it became pretty apparent that the Jets were going to move on from Sam. I know there's been some talk in recent days, and I even talked to Josh McCown the other day about the idea of keeping Sam and drafting Wilson. Josh was really high on that idea. He said Sam would have embraced it, but personally, I don't think that would have been that would have been kind of messy, having those two guys here, being roughly the same age. That only works if you have an older type guy like a Ryan Fitzpatrick and a younger guy. But so in that respect, it's a good move for the Jets because that would have been a messy situation.
All right, so let's say we all assume the Jets are taking Zach Wilson. Are they going into the season and Zach Wilson's going to start, or are they going to pick up a veteran quarterback?
Yeah, I think they should pick up – well, they have to pick up a veteran because they basically have no quarterbacks on the roster who've ever taken a snap in an NFL game right now.
Right.
So, yeah, I think from the scouts and personnel people I talk to, you know, there's a lot of upside with Zach Wilson, but no one I talk to really thinks he'd be ready to go in from day one and lead the team. So they do have to acquire a veteran quarterback. I don't know what Carolina is going to do with Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, he's got a big contract number this year, but he's like the ideal guy you'd want to bring in. No pun intended, but, you know, the ideal bridge quarterback. You know, Teddy is such a good guy, and we know him from the brief time he was with them in 2018. Another guy maybe to keep an eye on, Jacksonville is probably trying to trade Gardner Minshew now that they have, they're going to draft Trevor Lawrence, and Gardner Minshew could probably be had for a very late draft pick, maybe a conditional six or something like that, a guy who's very inexpensive and has some starting experience.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So, final one for me, Rich, when you consider where we are so close to the draft and with a lot of the quarterbacks already, or a lot of teams already with their quarterbacks, do you think the Jets did well in this deal?
I thought the actual compensation was okay. I mean, I thought maybe they would have got a little more this year. They're only getting the six this year, but they do get a two next year. And so considering the way the market's dried up, like you said, Don, teams of, you know, the Ryan Fitzpatricks of the world and Andy Daltons have found homes in recent weeks. So I don't think there were a lot of suitors for Sam. In fact, you know, I think Carolina might have been the only one, and talks didn't really ramp up until over the weekend, I was told. So the compensation, I think, is fair for both teams. It's just that you get back to the bigger issue where I thought the Jets could have gone in a different direction. But that's just my opinion.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Thank you so much, Rich. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right. That's Rich Samini. You could read him covering the Jets on ESPN.com. 1-800-919-3776. We go to the phones. Let's go to Richard in Queens. Richard.
Hello, gentlemen. Good afternoon.
How are you?
There he is.
I'm doing all right, guys. Don, I think you hit it right on the head. I don't like the idea that, first of all, they traded him. He never had a chance. I knew what my heart of hearts. I'm a season ticket holder since 1978. Are we going to go through this every 3 or 4 years with changing quarterbacks, yeah, changing coaches? You know, it's very, very disheartening to root for a team like this. And, Don, you hit it on the head, everything you said. Well, he never really got a chance. When Joe Douglas to be the coach, I was furious. I knew he wouldn't work out.
Well, guys, guess what?
Adam Gates.
It's going to happen again, right? Michael, if we fast forward 2-3 years and Wilson's not good, Saleh's out of a job, and Joe Douglas is out of a job, and they'll start again. Because one of the reasons they keep starting over and over again is still searching for that quarterback, right?
I'm blown away. I really am. Okay, so the guys that study the film and all that, what did I miss something? Peter, help me out, because Don sees it too. I don't. Did I miss something where Sam is great and they're giving up on a great player? Where is this? Where's this player? Where's these glimpses of greatness? Nothing. I know he didn't have a lot of support. I know it was a dysfunctional situation. But where's the greatness? Where is the glimmers of greatness? I never saw it.
No,
am I that blind to it? And I like the guy, so I wanted to see it. I don't see it.
I think that it's not a matter of ever seeing a glimpse of greatness, because I think anyone who tells you that is – they're either lying or they mean literally a split-second glimpse, like a play. But I do think it's not about Sam. I think it's more of an indictment of how bad this coaching staff was. Don, is that it? That you think this was a historically bad franchise, coaching-wise, well, to the point that you don't think you got a fair look?
Well, that's the frustrating thing, right? Forget about what we've seen or what we haven't seen. The one thing we can all agree upon, three losing seasons, and he has not been great. Forget the excuse, just hasn't been great. And what's frustrating to the Jet fans, and this is one thing we can all agree on, is that they traded up to draft this guy. And what did they do to get the most out of him? Got no coaching. They took what talent he had away. His rookie season, all right? Final month of the season, he started to come into his own. Had the best quarterback rating in the NFL. He was starting to come into his own. And then everything gets ripped up. New coaching staff, all right? Then they actually have a winning season in the second half of the year. Finish 7-9. Take his best offensive weapon away. You know, so I can understand the Jet fans saying, you went out and you got this quarterback and you didn't help him. You didn't develop him. You didn't help him. And the best thing we could do is say, what do we know? The Jets are the reason why we don't know. They did nothing. It's horrible. It was a horrible investment. You trade up to get the third overall pick, and then what do? You don't coach him. You don't get him any talent. Yeah, maybe you're right, Michael. Maybe he was just a dud. Maybe it was just a bad pick. But did you really get a chance to rev the engine at all, take it around some hairpin turns, see if it can go 0 to 60 in 3 seconds, or to just let it sit there and do nothing with it? And now shiny new toy comes down the pike, and now you're going to jump in there. I hope they do a better job of Wilson than they did with Sam. Otherwise, it's going to be the same thing all over again.
Ian Rappaport just tweeted out, when Matt Rhule interviewed for the Jet job 3 years ago, he did a virtual meeting with Sam Darnold, who asked about team, culture, and discipline, not scheme. Darnold knew the importance of getting the building right. That made Rhule an instant fan. Now they're together.
Yeah, and they're paying him, right? If you listen to Rich, that the reports are they're picking him up. You know, they made the trade. They like him. They want him. They've invested in him. So forget about all of the other experts. They traded for him, and they're giving him the $19 million. Before he even puts on their helmet, they gave him the $19 million.
Let's go to Buddha in the Bronx. Buddha, talk to us.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
Good. How are you?
All right. Listen, for the record, you know, I kind of checked out with Sam probably like a year and a half ago. You know, I felt like he had too many turnovers, you know, in college and in the pros. And he didn't really have any swag, any moxie, you know, for my liking. But I will say this. There were three things that I saw from the last year that you know, really stuck out to me. The first thing, as bad as a coach as Adam Gase was, you could tell that he couldn't run his full playbook with Sam Darnold. You know, when they're shopping a helmet, and they send it signed by the coach, you knew that he wasn't coming back. But the third and most egregious thing, and what I've been talking about, like, on a lot of different shows, and what really bothers me is like Teflon Joe Douglas. You know, either there was two things he did, and either one of them were really bad. The first thing was, you know, he sat down, looked at Sam Darnold's parents and lied to them, you know, and really wanted to move on from him, you know, already back then, but just didn't, you know, communicate that to everybody because he put absolutely nothing around him, as you said 1,000 times, Don. But, you know, what might be worse than that is if Joe Douglas thought that he was putting something around him. I mean, Kellerman, Fett, DeShear, Van Rotten, if he thought that those guys were going to turn the Jets around, We got a hell of a ride to look forward to. And Zach Wilson, you better buckle up. Because, like you said, you're going to be going through the same thing Sam Darnold would do.
It's a well-put-together argument, as good a one as I've heard, I think, Don.
But this offseason, he's done a good job in free agency. The last two deals he's made, Peter, I think have been good. He fleeced Seattle in the Adams deal. He was able to get a second-round pick for Sam plus. So I do not believe that Joe Douglas looked at that roster last year and said, okay, go get him, Sam.
Sam Darnold has posted a total QBR of 46, 46, and 40 in his first three seasons. Since QBR began in 2006, Eli Manning is the only other player to post three consecutive seasons with a sub-50 QBR. Not entirely on a supporting cast either, when Darnold has not been pressured in his career, his QBR is 59, and that is the worst since 2018.
At least Eli, the one thing about Eli, he always had weapons.
Right.
You know, early on in his career, where I'm sure some of those numbers are probably from.
Although I do think Eli had, I don't think Eli had fantastic weapons.
Well, let me ask you this, right? If Sam Darnold turned out to be Eli Manning, would Jet fans be happy? Had the exact same career. They'd be happy, right?
Yes.
Well, no, wait. They'd be happy if he won two Super Bowls.
All right. Well, that's part of what he did.
Right.
That's how we're always trying to remove the Super Bowls. It's amazing to me. It fascinates me. But anyway, has the exact same career. Well, look at what Eli had. Plexico Burress. You know, he had Tiki
but
Barber early in his
career.
He had
strong coaching.
Beginning. That's what I'm saying. He had strong coaching. He had better than average weapons, whether it was Plexico Burress, Steve Smith, Monty Toomer early in his career. I mean, he had some guys. And he was able to put that together and make the playoff early in his career. I'm talking about early in his career now, when he was Sam's age. Imagine Eli if he played for the Jets the last 3 years.
I'll tell you.
With bad coaching and bad. Where would Eli be? Eli would be where Sam is now, get traded, right? So you give him coaching, you give him weapons. I don't think anybody's ever going to confuse Sam Darnold with the elite quarterbacks in the league. He's not Aaron Rodgers. I know that. He's not Tom Brady.
We did not see enough for you to make me believe that if the weapons were as you just described, the Giants' weapons, that I think Sam can do the same thing. I don't think Sam's taking Amani Toomer as his best weapon to a Super Bowl. I didn't see that from Sam.
But if Eli Manning, the kid with the deer in the headlights his first year, 11-5 in the second year, and then they get shut out at home in the playoffs in his second year. What if that Eli Manning's on the Jets with awful coaching and awful talent? Would he have been able to do what Steve Young said and shine through and lead the Jets to something, or would he have ended up like Sam? I think he would have ended up like Sam.
Let's take a quick timeout, come back, take more of your phone calls. Big story, Sam Darnold going to the Carolina Panthers for a 6 this year and a 2 and a 4 in next year's 2022 draft. Kay LeGreco-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.